This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show 3, Starkey pontificating on all things college basketball, random name association with schools and players. That was a big part of his show. Very enjoyable listen, by the way. Crowley and Dorn got the whole thing kicked off. Callis didn't know which state Grand Canyon played in. Did not know the Grand Canyon was even in Arizona, as a matter of fact. So really par for the course for him. Malzi is here. Donnie back in Greentree, where he has all the TVs to himself. And we are in the mecca of things, and that is the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Get to the Steelers and everything that's going on with them. More Pirates news as well. But this is one of the great days in sports, and it's because of the craziness of the first round of the tournament. So I figured we'd play a little game to start today's show, Malzi.
Let's do it.
Donnie, do you have the either one shining moment or the CBS college basketball theme queued up? Can we get one of those?
Give me a sec here.
Okay. Either way, we're good. You pick dealer's choice.
The ball is tipped.
We'd either hear Luther Vandross or we can hear...
Da-na-na-na-na.
Or we can hear... Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Pick between those two. What would you rather hear?
There it is.
No. But of those two, I want this. I don't want one shining moment. I get it. Vandross was a legend, but...
All right, I saw this on Twitter today.
Okay.
A guy by the name of Kyle Hamilton, can't confirm or deny if it's the Ravens' safety, put out a list of the 25 main characters of the NCAA tournament in the last 15 years, rattling off names like Sister Jean, Doug Eddard from St. Peter's, Jack Golke last year in Pittsburgh with
Big
Oakland,
Jack Golke,
the cracker of the day. Chris Jenkins, the guy that hit the shot for Villanova to beat North Carolina at the buzzer. So I figured we could do 25 Pittsburgh March Madness characters throughout the years. Take it however you will. They can be guys that played at Pitt. They can be guys that broke Pitt's heart. They can be guys who played tournament games in Pittsburgh.
All right. Are we gonna?
They can be West Virginia players if you want to even take it that far.
Are we going to?
They can be Duquesne guys. I don't care.
Are we gonna write these down?
Yes, I have a pen and paper
25?
Here.
25.
Yep, this guy at 25 on his list. And look, Sister Jean made it, so you can even go outside the box a little bit here.
All right, I have.
And I don't think you can make a list of the last 25 years encompassing the whole tournament without Sister Jean.
No, I mean she's a legendary figure. Are you ready?
Yes. Are you ready, Don?
I'm good. You guys might need to help me keep track, though.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to lead off. Can I?
Yes.
May I? Fang Mitchell, the coach of Coppin State, who stunned South Carolina in a 15-2 upset in 1997 at the Civic Arena. No stop in Coppin, a school so small that they had to borrow another school's band for
a
that
local
game.
High school or local college?
I believe it was it was a university.
From around here?
It was either around here or it was one that was already in their pod. I'd have to go back and check that bracket. I think it was a team in their pod that just played for them.
All right, I have a positive one for Pitt. I'm sure we'll get to negative ones. LaVance Fields.
Biggest shot.
I can still see him making that shot against Xavier. I think there might have been an onions call at the time from Raff after that went in.
Huge three.
And it got Pitt into the Elite Eight. So when I think of great Pitt moments in the tournament, LaVance Fields is the first name that pops into my head. Donnie, you go.
I'm going to go the comedic route. Our little buddy who was wiping the floor a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh. My friend and your favorite, Mr. Joe Smeltzer.
All right, you got to set that story up and tell people why he's making the list.
Because if you weren't in the building, it would not make much sense.
Yeah, so this would have been the 2022?
I believe
tournament?
So.
I can't even remember the year, but I just know I was with you guys. We had some pretty nice seats for the games. We were taking in a Sunday afternoon of round of 32 action. Ohio State and Villanova, the game that was at PPG that day when this happened. Big crowd on hand. Pittsburgh does pull in some pretty impressive crowds when they host tournament games. And a friend of the show, a very close friend of mine, Joe Smeltzer, he was down there with his parents helping them work because they are friends with the folks at Duquesne. So they always assist.
Duquesne is always the host school locally.
Yes, not Pitt. And Joe was one of the guys that they used to wipe the floor during timeouts, or if a guy fell on the floor, whatever it may be.
Or if the action is going to the other end of the court, really good floor wipers will, while action is happening, see that it's settled in, there's not a turnover, keep their head up and wipe the floor while the game is going. That's common practice at every level of basketball. Uh-huh.
So our pal Joe, during an inbound on the opposite end of the floor, went out there to wipe things up around the free throw line, kind of ventured closer to the three-point line, and the three of us kind of joked, well, I hope there's not like a three-quarters court inbound here because Joe might be in trouble. And wouldn't you know it, we get a long ball thrown down the other side of the court, and man, there was almost a collision for the ages.
And Kevin Harlan called it.
Correct.
Yes, he did.
Even better that Kevin Harlan was on the call because he's an all-time great. He is
get
never
that man
better.
Off the floor, he something
is,
like that.
He is never better than he is in those moments. And he said something to the degree of, and that man's out there wiping the floor, and he just moved faster than he may ever have before.
All right, Malzie, give me another 25 Pittsburgh March Madness characters.
I'll just say quickly, my recollection is that even before that, I'm going to try to give myself credit I might not deserve. I remember thinking the first time we saw Smeltz out there, Donnie, that
it could happen.
Yeah, I remember muttering to you guys, like, man, he was kind of lingering out there. He needs to get on his horse a little bit. All right. You know what? I'm going to go with one that happened long enough ago. It's a negative one, but who could have foreseen where this guy's career would take him? Antonio Gates. His big wide ass knocking Pitt out of the tournament as a 6'5 power forward at Kent State. If you can't go to college, go to Kent. I hope my wife's not listening. She graduated from their excellent nursing program.
Man, the next name that popped into my head is along similar lines, but it's actually a Pitt player. It's Naz Robinson.
Yep.
The foul on Howard with, what, less than a second left after a Gilbert Brown missed free throw?
Yep.
Howard tries to just throw up a prayer, and he fouls him on it because he loses track of the score. Thought Pitt was down one and not tied, and Butler made both free throws and knocked Pitt out as a one seed in the
round. After Butler had fouled Gilbert
at
Brown
half-court.
In just absurd fashion to give Pitt a lifeline.
The anniversary of that play was yesterday. I saw them do that on PTI.
Ugh. Donnie?
What a game that
gross.
Was.
You got another one, Don?
You said we could go down the WVU well, correct?
Sure.
I mean, I can't think of WVU in the tournament without thinking of Kevin Pitsnoggle. I can't.
I knew he was going to come up here.
And I've said it before, I'll say it a million times again, there has never been a college athlete ever to perfectly represent the picture of his program than Kevin Pitsnoggle.
Tattoos, kind of just like a goofy look about him in general.
Just such a lovable character in March, and man, could that guy bang the outside shot.
Malzie?
Just unbelievable.
I'm going to go with, you know, Golkey was in our pod last year, and it was incredible fun to watch. How about our man Big DJ Burns NC State?
The I thought he was going to play run. For the Steelers.
Pulling Antonio Gates.
That's what I thought was going to happen, yeah.
He lost too much weight to do that.
I know, he went on the Ozempic plan.
He ended up going, you know, very slim down.
What are you laughing about, Charlie? He did. Go pull up pictures of the guy. He looks like a totally different human being now. All right, I got a surprise for you for the next one. Joe Crispin.
Oh.
2001 Penn State. Basically was the catalyst of that whole thing. It's their greatest run through the tournament in that program's history.
They beat North Carolina in the second round, did they not?
Yep. As a 10 seed?
I believe it was a 10-2 upset,
and he was knocking down shots left and right. Sharpshooter.
Titus Ivory, Giassi Klein-Hurd, Calvin Booth, things of that nature.
Joe Crispin. Malzi, back to you. 25 Pittsburgh March Madness characters.
I'm going to give you another one that I'm going to go negative here again. How about the other guy on Kent State? You know what? I'm going to go positive because it's a West Virginia guy. If AB's Cracker of the Day Award was around when this guy was balling out in his triple XL t-shirt under his jersey, he would have been a nominee. He's now put together what is probably the most complete and best team in the NBA as their GM. Can I get a shout-out from Mike Gansey?
I like that one.
He was a better player than Pitsnoggle, like unquestionably
he
a better player.
He got thrown out of St. Bonaventure for having a welding degree.
Wasn't him. That was somebody else in the program, I thought.
Well, either way, it got him.
Yes.
It got the program put on probation. That's why he left. Donnie, back to you.
Yeah.
Wait, what was he thrown out of school for?
So St. Bonnie's had a guy that got admitted to their school while Gansey was there. Because he finished second to a LeBron in Ohio's Mr. Basketball.
He had
basketball,
a welding and degree the guy, from like a trade school.
Yeah,
they took him.
They admitted a guy who didn't have an actual high school diploma. He just had a welding certificate, and they were like, come to St. Bonaventure.
So the school got put on probation, and everybody left.
If that happened back then, Donnie, if that happened now, people would be like, all right, so he can weld. Cool.
The man
Donnie,
sitting
back
next to you guys was a Bonnie.
Malzi
took DJ Burns, but I got to go with Golkey. It was electric in that place last year.
10 threes.
Anytime those two touched the ball, when they played each other, that second round game, let alone what he was able to pull off in the upset of Kentucky, anytime one of those two players had the ball in their possession,
electric factory,
in that game,
Donnie.
You could just feel that palpable Buzz Williams around the arena.
Here's another thing about that. I think this is true of most of those guys who are like mid-major or low-major darlings who just hit shots. Golkey's degree of difficulty on some of these was just...
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Donnie? Do you remember it this way, the same way I do? It looked like the easier the look for Golkey, the more likely he was to miss it. And if he was catching it, turning, and flying out of bounds while shooting, I thought it was buckets.
Here's one that's kind of a... it's not a player. It's just more of a thought on Pittsburgh March Madness. Not a thought, but like a thing that happened. So it's not a player. I'm going to write down... Pitt playing Wisconsin
at the Dells,
in Milwaukee
at the Kohl Center or whatever it was,
when Pitt was
the
better
seed.
Like all-time screw job by the committee,
and Pitt hammered them.
Hey, let's make Pitt play a road game in the second round even though they're a 3 seed and deserve better. And Wisconsin was led by a guard named Devin Harris, who went on to play for the Nets in the NBA.
Pitt spanked him
in that
game.
And Pitt beat him pretty good, exactly.
Jamie had to have used that for just ultimate bulletin board material.
I honestly think their two greatest wins in program history in the tournament, it's a really close toss-up between that Xavier game where Fields hit the shot and then that win against Wisconsin.
I'm going to put the Xavier game up there, number one, because it got him to the Elite Eight. But that Wisconsin game was very satisfying.
Max Malzahn?
Crying Villanova flute girl.
Was that in Pittsburgh?
NC State beats Villanova in a 1-versus-8 game, and they are showing the final from Pittsburgh, PA, and here's this lovely-looking young lady.
You remember her, Don?
Reddish hair. I think she had freckles, and she is playing that flute with all of her heart between sobs and tears. Matt tweeted this at us.
I was at that game.
Man, what a glorious submission, crying Villanova flute girl.
I was at that game. NC State, I think, beat LSU on a buzzer beater to get to the Villanova game. Crazy game. All right, Donnie, you're next.
You know who else I think of from that time that we went a couple of years ago because Houston was playing? You know where I'm going with this, Pony. It's not somebody who got on TV for being a crazy fan. But
Mama Cook?
We had a great Houston fan in our section who was revving the whole place up.
She was doing the shocker sign the entire game.
Yes, she was.
She was giving the shocker. He put Mama Cougar.
I was going to put her. I had her on my list of people to submit.
She had spiked hair. She looked like Sting. Remember Sting back in the day
wrestler.
With that bleach blonde hair?
Yes.
All right, I got to do it. Scotty Reynolds.
Yeah.
You can't.
All right, here, let's go through, like, we'll call it the negativity.
You can't have one of these without Scotty Reynolds.
I'll go with Barry Goheen just
yep,
to
that was another
salt
one I
the wound.
Of. Donnie, back to you.
What did you go with when you went with Nasir Robinson? Did you also include Matt Howard in that? That has
no,
to be one of the, that has to be one of the more frustrating guys to put Pitt away.
Matt Howard just looked like a guy who smelled like Flexol 454 or something.
You know what?
Back, smelled like ointment and Ace tape.
Back to me, Shelvin Mack from that team. Malzie?
Gross. Hold on. I'm going to go with Brandon Knight. How about the guy that turned Pitt's program around as like a major catalyst when they finally got back there?
Yep. Don't think of him for big tournament moments, though, really. But
no, I don't. But you know what I think of him for? What would have been an all-time end to a Big East tournament game if he had made the winning three on one leg against UConn.
Donnie, back to you.
I know that this was just the first four mostly for the moment that happened, but I'm going to put Henson on the list.
Absolutely a good
because
pick.
That was the first time in how many years where we finally got Pitt back in the dance, almost a decade. We saw some awful years of basketball, and Henson made one of the craziest threes, like unconscious threes that I can remember a Pitt
classic,
player making. In
classic
that game.
no, yes shot. I got another one that's going to bring the house down when it's my turn.
I'm going to go 20. Huggins consoling Deshaun Butler after he tore his ACL in the Final Four.
One of the more emotional moments.
Remember that, Don?
Huggins, like, leaning.
Huggins, oh, yeah.
He tore his
it's
ACL.
Yes,
and there's Huggins. Huggins, the ultimate hard ass, you know, crouched over him, holding his head in his hands, basically comforting him as Pony spills water on himself.
No, that was
Yes, I remember that moment.
On his
now.
Josh Hart jersey. All right, I'm going to go with one that is technically not. Here's why this guy's getting put on here, mainly to make you guys laugh. You can't recognize or appreciate how good you used to have it or had it recently when Pitt was playing in March without a guy for whom March was a time when he was just collecting paychecks and playing golf. A guy that made me appreciate any little run Pitt had afterwards, Kevin Stallings, the anti-March Madness Pitt coach.
Oh, my God. Didn't see that coming.
That's why I thought you guys might appreciate it.
Donnie?
Any chance I get to throw a barb his way?
See, I was going to go with Jamie Dixon just for the overall, like, yeah, he couldn't get it done in some of the biggest moments, but, I mean, it was, basically
he was,
you could notch March, late March, into your calendar if you were a Pitt fan with him.
I'm going to put Donatas Zavakas on the list, mostly because he took his shoes off when Pitt needed him most.
I think that's fair.
Two more, Malzie. We're done.
Who did Donnie put before?
He went Jamie.
Okay, yeah. How about Dwayne Wade?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a really good one.
It made me feel a lot better what he did to them because he then went out and cooked Kentucky in the very next game, I believe. And then they ran into a Kirk Heinrich buzzsaw.
Donnie, last one.
I want to have one of you guys do the last one here.
Ooh, he wants to cede the floor to us here with the last one.
Do we put Halland on there, the guy who put Pitt basketball back on the map?
That seems like it. That seems
too easy.
Bit of
a reach. Is there any other? Oh, how about Patrick O'Brien?
I thought about him.
Patty O'Brien.
From Bradley. I wrote him down.
Put him on there.
One of these guys who came out of the abyss to knock off Pitt, and then he got drafted in the first round by the Celtics, I think, after that.
That game put
him on the map.
Yeah, that game got him drafted, dude.
All right, that's the fun of March. 25 Pittsburgh March Madness characters. We'll put the list out on Twitter, and we'll let you respond. And
Mama Coog.
Maybe tell us who we left off. Couple of Cinderellas potentially in March, not going away quietly. High Point down only 6 against Purdue, 8 minutes to go in the second half, 59-53. Wisconsin has an 8-point lead on Montana. Donnie has the Grizzlies as a 14 seed, winning that game, knocking off Wisconsin. He doesn't look at this as one of these Frank Kaminsky Wisconsin teams. He thinks that they're prime.
I've seen a Frank Kaminsky Wisconsin team, and you, sir, are not a Frank Kaminsky Wisconsin team.
That is the fun of March, picking these upsets. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Tomorrow afternoon, could we have the greatness of March right here in Pittsburgh? Robert Morris has won one game in the NCAA tournament as a 16 seed. They beat North Florida in Dayton. They've never won a game in the round of 64. Can they shock the world and beat Alabama as a huge underdog? The man that has called more Robert Morris basketball games than anyone in history. He's one of the great voices in college basketball. He's a friend of the show. You hear his commercials saying, "Let's go, Bobby Moe." He's a legend in this industry. He's in Cleveland right now getting ready to call this game tomorrow. Chris Shovlin with us here on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Chris, have you visualized it? Have you seen it? Have you closed your eyes and imagined and dreamed and fantasized about Robert Morris knocking off mighty Alabama tomorrow afternoon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. And by the way, that was the biggest amount of smoke I've ever had blown at me in my life. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. But no, of course you do. Of course you look at the bracket after everything is announced on Selection Sunday, and you just start thinking, all right, what's the pathway to get a win here? And how are the guys going to respond? How's Coach Toole going to respond? And, of course, you know, you dream about this. And I packed enough clothes to stay until Sunday. I did, because I believe in this club.
Chris, if you had to pick, if you visualized it happening, if you had to pick one way for it to happen, do you want a nice comfy win, like where they somehow shock the world even more and beat Alabama by 8 or 10 points and are just playing out the last minute or two? Or do you want to see Fulgaris step into a three, down two, as the buzzer's about to go, and you get to call an all-time NCAA buzzer beater?
Ooh!
Wouldn't that be something if the octopus would do that?
The octopus!
I can actually imagine. I can see Cam Woods driving down the floor and getting a layup to win it at the buzzer. That in my humble, simplified mind, that's the way I would see it, to be honest with you. But, you know, I'll take it either way. I do see a very close game. I think, you know, if Robert Morris can hang with these guys early and not let them get a big lead, this is a very mature, very stable Robert Morris club. Jim Elias, my partner, and I just got back from practice. They were over at the shoot-around at the arena, which is more of a showcase. And then they actually went to an auxiliary gym on Cleveland State's campus, and they had one of the best practices I've seen a Robert Morris team have pre-tournament in a long time. So they're focused. They're really determined.
Chris, we asked Andy this because we had him on last week to talk about this matchup. Alabama, in terms of, like, pace, they're the fastest-paced team in the country. They're going to get up and down. They want to have a ton of possessions. Knowing what you know about this team, do you think that style of opponent is a better match for them than, say, and I'm just using a historical example, one of those great Virginia teams that wanted to slow the pace down and really make it a deliberate basketball game? How do you feel like the way Alabama wants to play matches with what Robert Morris wants to do?
Well, Chris, I think, you know, frankly, the pace doesn't bother me as long as Robert Morris gets back and plays transition defense, because Alabama is going to try to throw the ball down the floor and outrun them. What really concerns me is the width and the size of these guys. Like, I'm not even sure if Grant Nelson's going to be available tomorrow, but he's 233 pounds and he's 6'11". Chris Youngblood is 223 pounds. Omori is 250 pounds. I think that's going to be the biggest problem for Robert Morris, is the size of these guys and the width and the girth of these guys.
Chris, if I think I know the answer. I won't ask you to answer this question, because I think I already know the answer to it, so I'm going to pivot to this one. In your opinion, having watched more Robert Morris basketball game than anyone in your capacity, do you believe this is the best Robert Morris basketball team of all time?
It's tough to say, Andrew, but I think it may be. And I've been around since 1987. Jimmy Elias has been here even before that. He was part of the 83 team that went to the NCAA. I look at these guys and, you know, I see Cam Woods, who played sparingly, although he did play on that Final Four team at North Carolina State, and I look at how determined he is. I see Alvaro Fulgaris and his confidence and how he's grown just in a year, and he's only 18 years old. Amarian Dickerson is a man. He's an adult. Very determined. And the fact that he's playing in his hometown of Cleveland, Ohio, I think he's going to be extremely focused. But the thing is, I mean, even the other two guys, Joshua Majapo, he's an older kid. He won 32 games up at Gannon in Division II, but he looks like a D1 player, and he's been a D1 player. And DJ Smith has been fantastic as well, controlling the point. But, if you ask me if this is the best Robert Morris team I've seen, I'm kind of leaning in that direction and saying yes.
And what about Andy, just as far as Robert Morris coaches that you've seen, his level of accomplishment? Can you speak to, is this program in its golden age as far as having its best coach that you've ever seen on staff?
I can't say enough about Andy Toole. He is just, to me, he's a basketball genius. He's kind of changed his game a little bit, too. Andy was really maybe super intense when he first started as a young coach. And, there was a lot of yelling and screaming. And, he's still very vociferous. But at the same time, I think he has matured because of this the type of kids that he has right now. I think, they're more mature, and that made him more mature. He's actually kind of backed off. And, he and I kind of kid around because I travel with the guys all the time, and I remember there was a game at Green Bay, and Green Bay was the doormat of the Horizon League this year.
With Doug Gottlieb,
and,
yes,
who does our job.
I think that might be an insult to doormats, Chris.
It may be. But I remember the Colonials were down like 16 or 17 points in the first half. They went in the locker room. Andy raised his voice, and the players started yelling at each other. And Andy stopped and just let them go off. And they came back out on the floor, and they blew Green Bay off the floor in the second half. And then we went down to Milwaukee and knocked off Milwaukee at the old Mecca. And to me, that was the turning point of the season. And I think that showed me that, Andy's kind of grown up in his years. I mean, he's been here for 15 years as a head coach, 18 overall. But I think that, he's to the point right now where he's letting things handle themselves and letting things work out themselves. And, I just admire him to no end.
Chris, one more thing. I just want to know from your perspective, do you believe in what we all feel was the turning point of the season for this team where they got on a big run? Andrew Filippone, noted jinx in attendance against Towson. Robert Morris being blown off the floor through 20 minutes. Andrew leaves the building. Robert Morris storms back to win and really never looks back. You've seen a lot of basketball. You've seen turning point moments for teams. Do you feel like that one probably qualifies here?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it, Chris. I mean, we looked up into the stands after the first half. And, Andrew wasn't the only one who left the building, but I definitely think he was the impetus in that comeback and that turnaround.
All right, Chris, two quickies for me, and then we'll let you run. You got a huge game to call tomorrow. The first one is, does Chris Shovlin have brainstormed an epic final call of what you'll say if Robert Morris is the latest 15 seed to knock off a 2?
I do not, Andrew, because I let the game present itself in front of me, and then I just try to be the eyes and the nerves of the fan. I am going to let the game come to me, and whatever I say is going to be spur of the moment immediacy. So, no,
okay.
I don't have anything planned out.
With the last time this almost happened, did you have to dump yourself when Robert Morris got screwed by Villanova? Were there F-bombs that almost came out of your mouth during that game?
I didn't say anything evil or mean or anything, but I'll tell you what, I have held a grudge ever since that game in 2010. I mean, I still say to this day, Robert Morris won that game.
I agree.
Robert Morris won that game. The score doesn't say it, but Robert Morris won that game. We beat Villanova. I don't even like seeing Jay Wright on TV when he's on.
Okay, and last one. Chris Shovlin, voice of the Robert Morris Colonials, your score prediction for tomorrow.
Honestly, I don't have one. I really don't. I am praying for a close Robert Morris win. If we can, if the guys can beat them by one or two, I'm going to be totally satisfied. I have no prediction on the score. I haven't even filled out a bracket. I'm just focused on this game tomorrow. And
I like that. I like that.
Total laser focus. I agree.
Chris, thanks so much for being a good sport. If they win, I'll see you on Sunday.
You guys are the greatest, and I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans.
Wow!
She listens to you guys religiously every day, so shout out to Odette.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks,
enjoy
Chris.
Cleveland. Goodbye. There
Thanks,
you go.
Guys.
Chris Shovlin.
Well, now we know. Now he knows, though, or he probably already knew, if she has takes he doesn't agree with, who to blame?
Us.
Yep. No, I was going to say us. I've got some stinkers out there in the wild.
Purdue has opened up an 8-point lead on High Point. It looks like they're going to hold on.
8-point game as well, 40-32, Wisconsin over Montana at the moment.
Second half just started there. Houston is already up huge on SIUE, 40-18, as one would expect, and Creighton was able to beat Louisville. So now down to three ACC teams left. You know, I was looking at the odds here at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. It is incredible how many people are betting on these games who think North Carolina is going to go on a magical run now. That
they could get absolutely mud-holed by Ole Miss.
Crush San Diego State. They've got some of the best odds to come out of that bracket. Donnie, how far do you have the Tar Heels going now?
Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, see?
How far do I have the Tar Heels going? No further than this game. I think Mississippi's going to beat them.
I have Mississippi in the Final Four, as a matter of fact.
I actually knew you did.
All right, guess I tweeted it, Malzi. And the way Elon puts it, I always now get great
engagement
from Elon.
And you don't even have the blue check. How is that possible?
Correct. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. This is the place to be. If you've never, you know, gone to Vegas, let's say, for the NCAA tournament, which is obviously a big bucket list event, this is the next best thing to be here at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. The lunch buffet was incredible. What did you have? Anything special?
I had a little, they had, the hot honey chicken, crispy chicken sandwich on a little nice little potato roll with some slaw. Delicious.
They had a vat of beer cheese.
I saw the vat of beer cheese. The pretzel nuggets were elite. That were obviously the beer cheese was there for them. Oh, yeah. And a proper amount of salt. You want to talk about something that is rarely gotten right? Proper salting.
Big upset, no wings. I think that might
messy.
Be the second.
Too messy.
Well, I'm guessing that's the second maybe buffet because this is not the only one.
So the one.
There's three buffets. There's this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's more the dinner buffet. And then there's for the late nights, the loonies, if you will. The people that are here for the late games, there's like a...
My Taco Bell just gets flown in.
There's like an 11 p.m. buffet, which I love.
The 11 p.m. buffet almost guaranteed as the best, just comfort food. You think when Jimmy Buffett would perform in France, they'd call him Jimmy Buffet?
Did he even do international...
Can you imagine him going to a very fancy
That's what I'm thinking
place in Paris
head.
And he's like, wasted, or he's like, cheeseburger in paradise.
Purdue's going to beat High Point, so if you had High Point as an upset.
Is High Point apparently one of those super rich kid schools that
it is.
I never
My
knew
sister
about?
Almost went there and then figured out it was going to probably put her back $500,000 in debt.
Where is that? It's in North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Near Asheville, I think.
Somebody was telling me that it's that going there is almost like going to a resort.
It
just
is.
Like a bizarre,
She toured the campus.
Do you know
crazy.
What's also kind of another low-key, extremely expensive non-Ivy? Miami University in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
They have a helipad.
There. I unsuccessfully picked up women there once.
So that means you did not
I
pick
did
up.
Not.
Yeah. You attempted.
Wisconsin up 7 on Montana with 15 minutes to go.
We can all write Houston in as moving on, too.
As Seth Davis likes to say, Sharpie. Houston over SIUE.
You a Seth Davis fan, generally?
Not really. I think he's swarmy and arrogant because he went to Duke and obnoxious.
Also, didn't he just basically have, parents who got him into the business?
Yeah, his dad was a congressman.
Yeah, that...
All right, Jason Mackey joins us right now from the Post-Gazette. Jason, who's in your Final Four?
Oh, man, I got to look now. I was doing a couple this morning. I think Florida...
Oh, see, hold on, Jason, stop.
Time out, party
stop,
foul
top.
Right there.
You got there's. It's like the Lord of the Rings. One ring to rule them, one bracket to rule them. I only did three brackets this year for one reason, and it was only in one pool. So each of my sons could have an individual bracket that would have a chance to win. But that's it. I think if you are a self-respecting bracket filler-outer, technical term, I think you go one bracket across all platforms. Do you know why, Jason? You've got to have the self-confidence to assume that bracket will be the best one, maximizing your winnings. Yeah, and you've got to have bracket integrity. Pony's right.
Yeah, and mine won't win. I know that. I did one with my wife and kids. We have like a family bet, and then we did one at the Post-Gazette. I feel like that's legal. I mean, neither one of them are going to be any good. I have never won a bracket.
Wait a minute, but Chris's question is, did you fill out different brackets for each one, or were your picks consistent for each one you entered?
Oh, I see. No, I did like a – no, they were different. I went chaos in the Post-Gazette one. I went somewhat realistic in the Post-Gazette. I mean, neither one's going to be right. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I see what you're saying about maintain consistency. I'll take it into consideration for next year.
Jason, last week you said, why not Jameis Winston? Have you written your official thoughts on Aaron Rodgers? Is it a thumbs up or thumbs down at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that day. It's a thumbs down at this point. For $40 million, it's a thumbs down. I was intrigued by it initially, and it's what I said to you guys last week. If the price was lower, I'd be good with it. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers makes them discernibly better, and I would not be in for that amount of money. I think it's crazy. And at this point, man, I just don't understand being dragged around the way the Steelers are and allowing themselves to have this happen to them. I would just say thanks, Aaron. No thanks. We're moving on.
I mean, isn't the I get what you're saying about you're surprised the Steelers would allow this to happen to them, but isn't that the overall commentary on the state of this franchise? They are no longer the Steelers that would never dream of being involved in these sweepstakes. They are absolutely in the muck with other teams just behaving like some of the NFL's kind of middle class do.
I know. I hate it. I was talking about this on the air a little bit last night, guys. Like, what is so offensive about the Aaron Rodgers situation? And I said, I got a couple calls on that, and it's a great point, Chris. I mean, this is so sideways of what we've known the Steelers to be. And look, why are you allowing this? It's not that much better. Art needs to step in, just say an end or give them a deadline. Look, I understand what they're trying to do, fix the quarterback position temporarily, you know, bridge to the draft, whatever. It can't drag on this long, and I understand why people get upset about it.
If it's not okay, so Aaron Rodgers is out. Is
for
Jason?
Me,
okay. So if Jason Mackey then had his druthers, who would be the Steelers' Week 1 starting quarterback?
Mason Rudolph at this point. You know, and I might bring in a backup that I'd be okay playing if it didn't work out with Mason. You know, Winston could be it. Flacco could be it. I'm not terribly excited about any of it. And I think it depends a little bit on how it falls in the draft. Like, if they somehow luck into Shedeur Sanders, like, I'd be interested. I don't think they're going to. But, you know, if I answer that question
right now. So if Sanders
is
there at 21, if he's available at 21 and he's fallen in the draft like Aaron Rodgers did a long time ago, you would take him with that pick?
Yeah, I think I probably would.
Malsy?
Yeah, I'd have a tough time passing that up.
What noise is that?
I don't know. I can understand why you would do that and say the juice is worth the squeeze. The juice is worth the squeeze here because of where you're picking him at that point. But I think there's one franchise quarterback in this draft, and I don't think he's that
guy. His name's Cam Ward.
Yes.
And he's going with the number one pick.
I just think anything else is varying degrees of could be decent, but is, you know, like a ceiling for a lot. I think everybody else is Andy Dalton.
Oh, boy. Ugh.
Not even Jackson Dart? Come on, Chris. Jackson Dart.
Jason, have you ever won a bracket pool?
No, I never have. I stink. I'm so bad. Man, if you're running a bracket pool, you want me in that thing. I'm terrible at them.
Did you get in ponies where half the money's going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food
No,
Bank?
Because Jason has been – he's been in his bubble. His sports writing bubble, his Ray Romano bubble.
I didn't. I'm a bad friend. Andrew, I'm sorry. I will send you some money just to donate for the heck of it.
It's fine.
I'm terrible.
Just pile that on with the steak dinner that you still have.
Wow.
Hey, you keep firing that out there. You know I asked you to go to dinner to pay up on it. You told me you couldn't. Or you had to check with the man that and you would
Here's
get
the
back
rule.
To me. And
yes.
You never got back
to
me.
That's a good that, – That is
good rebuttal.
Yes, it is. But here's my take on that. I think if I do it a second time, the bet's off. If I reject one date, I think I'm allowed a second one. I'm allowed a rain check. If I turn him down a second time, then I think it's over. Then I don't think I can bring it up anymore to you.
I think that's pretty fair.
All right, that's fair. And it's on me. I should go back to you, and we will fix this. We will fix this. I'm not running from it. I'm a bad friend. We've established
Jason,
this.
Jason, one more time, because we will not talk again until the Pirate season starts. on the air officially. Are you sticking with your 85 win prediction with the Jared Jones news?
Yep.
Man.
I am. 84.
Now that's going full.
Oh, 84. He's dropped it only one.
Still, though, you're going full giraffe mode, putting your neck out there with that prediction.
84 for the Buckos
that's
in
fine,
2025.
Man. Trust
Good
me.
Lord.
I don't care.
I respect it, man. That's like genuinely putting yourself out there. I respect it.
I respect it, but I don't know how he arrives
gets there.
At that
no,
point.
No. Well, very creatively, I think.
How do you get there?
Do they play 200 games?
Yeah, how do you get there? How do you get to 84 wins?
I hear my ayahuasca, sorry. I mean, I think the pitching is going to be solid. I think the offense is going to be better. I don't think it's going to be elite.
Better.
I do think it can be better. I do. I think
with what?
With the guys they have.
Who?
Sawinski and Davis, I think, could be actual players. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I don't underestimate how messed up in the head these guys were last year. I'm not saying it's going to be elite production this year, but I think, like, I don't think they're anywhere near as bad as they've been to this point in their careers.
All right, we'll definitely hold you to that. 84 and 78. We'll talk next week, Jason. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.